Welcome to another chat on Awakenings. It's been a bit of a delay. We've been caught up with holidays, kids, but we'll try and get things a bit more consistent again. So sorry for any delay between chapters, but continuing chapter 8, Embracing Change, Breaking the Mold. So this is basically about breaking out of habits and stereotypes, labels. I'll just read the first paragraph. It's amazing on the outset looking in on the 3 to 4 years of Jackson's life from 2009, kept himself fully preoccupied. He was lonely and miserable most of the time. Jackson only had energy for work, a little sport, and some running around for his kids. He didn't feel fully present with them. Jackson didn't feel fully present at all. He was around 37 and he remembered pushing himself to be able to physically do what he used to. He was trying for that sense of freedom or joy he used to get from sport. It was always his escape. So like a lot of people, you get caught in life and life doesn't go your way at times, and people play sport or do different things as a healthy distraction in a way, and a way to clear the mind or to focus on something. It's interesting, as you start getting older, you still try for that pattern, that routine, or that way to try and take the pressure off. But over a period of time, when with life's challenges, it can be harder to try and distract yourself or to find that way to release, in a sense, because it compounds over time. The more Jackson pushed, the worse he became. His energy continued to suffer and diminish over the next few years. He drove himself into the ground. So Jackson, little did he know, he was going to go through the most intense time of his life and the most liberating 3 years of his life too at the end of it. But I feel it's important to remember that when life's challenges does create opportunities, the greater the challenge, the greater the opportunity, for sure. So many successful people have gone through such tough times. It's unbelievable that they can get through it often. Their story that motivates so many, of course. It goes on to say, the key to empowering ourselves and others is not by putting them in a box, it's by setting them free, setting ourselves free. So we often talk about this. It's amazing stereotypes, and we've spoken about some of these things. You know, these chats are similar, going a similar way, in a sense that stereotypes is a way of accepting your habits or traits or certain things. So I feel that's an important step, to accept the way you are or certain traits. But if it's an excuse to be a certain way, to not look at how you are or the reasonings behind why you do certain things, if it's not serving you, then that's a sense of entrapment, in my view. It's like, well, that's just how I am. It's just how I'm born. With anxieties or PTSD and all the labels that they put on people. My opinion is just labeling a misunderstanding within yourself, in my view. So even anxiety,
Your psyche starts believing it. If you keep saying it, your psyche starts believing it and that's supporting
it. Yeah. It's a sense of relief to think, okay, I suffer from anxiety, or, you know, there might be resistance initially, but then it's like, oh, I'll take this medication. I feel society's just normalizing inadequacies and failures. And the reason I say that is not because of, I'm not saying people are inadequate. I'm saying people should not believe that they're inadequate and that they don't have control, or that there's no way through. I don't believe people should think that for 1 second. And I mentioned to you, I don't think I mentioned in the chat, I mentioned to you not long ago that I saw on the side of a bus an advertisement saying, he said that she was an avid reader and she lives daily with anxiety. And I think that's shit. I really do. To put it plainly, So what do you do? It's like, that's this condition that I have. And I can say that. And like, I don't have to be a psych to disagree, because I've suffered from anxiety before, where, you know, the idea of something, it's like your body reacts to it, and you're trying to be a certain way, or like certain things within yourself you don't accept, and the imagination over a period of time, especially when you accept anxiety or depression, the imagination, in my experience, just keeps expanding. So the capacity for you to suffer from anxiety increases, unless you shut down your mind or you take medication, that sort of thing. And I'm not saying medication's all bad. I'm just saying that it's not the end goal. So live healthily, eat well, and sustain your body as best you can and look after it rather than using chemical reactions. Mm-hmm. And the energetic healing that I do, I've healed, done some healing on people that have, that are taking anxiety tablets. And it's interesting because I can feel energetically how it shuts down the energy coming through the crown, is what I feel. Mm-hmm. And that destables or minimizes the processing of energies. Mm-hmm. And it's all energy. Like in quantum physics, it's all energy. So if you shut down the energy coming through, then it's like you're turning down, like a, let's say someone that's very in tune and very aware, very intuitive. Their system's like a massive waterfall, and so they flush everything out, that they process things very quickly. From what I feel, turning down, like taking medication or anxiety tablets or minimizing or shutting down your awareness, it has a real feel, a result of shutting down the processing. So that waterfall, potential waterfall coming through your crown to flush yourself out energetically, it just turns it down to a trickle. Mm. So you're not really processing. If you don't process, then you can't really escape the whole process, the whole system in a sense. And I feel it's a bit of a conspiracy theorist in a way, but you know, you have to look at the patterns of what society is trying to normalize.
I was just thinking, I think with a lot of these anxieties and stuff, I think people are too quick to write off normal emotions and feelings, such as, you know, I'm nervous about something, or, you know, you're going to do something that you don't normally do, and you're feeling a little bit nervous about it and you know, stressing a little bit about it. But that's normal. And I think people are getting scared of feeling that and then writing it off as anxiety, and because I'm feeling this, I need help and medication. And it's actually normal.
Yeah, exactly. It's normal to be nervous about anything new or a race or where you're challenged. That's absolutely normal. And yeah, you're right. People think there's something wrong with them if they're not constant in the way they feel. And it's amazing how quick people are looking to get a diagnosis.
Well, everyday emotions that people go through. Yep. I think way too many people, and especially the young ones, because they keep hearing these words, depression, anxiety, all the time. They get a little sense of something that they don't normally feel every single day. And they think, oh, it must be anxiety straight away. Mm. So trying to toughen out a little bit and just live it and feel it and experience it.
Mm. Yeah, I know people, I've spoken to people that are in the health professions, and some of them are just very quick to say, oh, you're showing signs of depression, should go and see a doctor. Then they go and see a doctor, they get tablets straight away, you know. And I'm not saying don't see a doctor, but it's amazing. Like everything we're about, society tries to tell the opposite, like self-inquiry, discovery, and there's no accountability, I feel. Minimal anyway. There is no escaping the psychic. You can try and shut it down, you know, by taking tablets and different things, but you'll never be free. I really feel one might could quite easily misunderstand what I'm saying by saying, oh, you feel anxiety is not real. Any misunderstanding or any, even if you get excited about something, that creates a chemical reaction and chain reaction within your mind, within your body. You can't say it's not real. We perceive it. So, you know, you get excited about something or something coming up that you really want. That excitement's created by yourself. There's nothing wrong with you. It's normal. Just like with an excitement or something positive you look forward to, if you dread something, then you feel the negative aspect as well. So you're also creating that. And you have a choice of creating both those aspects. You just said it's amazing that things where we feel good, we think, oh, it just comes naturally. But then if you feel something that's not so good as well, it's just something wrong with me. And I think there's an absolute misunderstanding there. And it's intensified, obviously, you know, over the last 2 years and the controls in place. For sure. So things are intensifying. So everything that we're about and the book's about is getting one out of the box and saying, well, okay, whatever you feel, depression, in my experience, from what I've gone through, anxiety, depression, different things, you can break free from it. You really can. But you have to do practices. You have to do things in your life, slow down, do things to become more aware of your thoughts, feelings, actions. I feel, you know, we're too eager to fit in with others in a sense, but we are amazingly unique. And I feel part of the joy to living is discovering your uniqueness, your way. And not, I'm not saying all your flaws, but it's amazing how a weakness, perceived weakness that you may feel within yourself can ultimately become something that you love about yourself and an absolute strength. And I've seen it in others, and I've experienced that within myself. The fourth paragraph talks about this, where it says that the risk of categorizing people is it may lead us to accept that this is just the way we are. Mm. Personality traits show patterns. It is not who we are. It is merely a stepping stone. It's important to discover ourselves and understand certain experiences. But ultimately, we're not victims of circumstances. These experiences show us aspects of ourselves, which if you look hard enough, will lead you home to your heart. I think another key thing is that some people, there's certain things about themselves, mannerisms that they can't accept, or they don't really like so much. And like, for example, if you around people that smoke, or probably not really the best analogy now, not many people smoke, but it will tempt you to smoke. Or if you're around people that drink, and then it tempts you to drink. So there's no point in pretending that you're not like that. It's about discovering your urges, where you tend to gravitate towards, and the temptations that you feel in certain circumstances. And I feel knowing yourself and your personality, it can give you signs and ways through to discover more about yourself. And that's not by pretending that you're around people that drink, that you're not going to drink, and you might be tempted, because you know you will if that's been your tendency. And if you have certain addictive personalities, know that you have an addictive personality. And it's not all bad, because that you can put yourself in circumstances where you're tempted to do something that afterwards you may regret. But using, if you have an addictive personality, if you got into training, for example, or exercise or something, you could absorb yourself into something that can transform your life. So instead of pretending that you're one way or another, look at your mannerisms and then take action towards something that benefits you and your psyche, your body. So addictive personalities can be fantastic athletes. Mm. Or, you know, you can become obsessed, get into whether it's camping or discover survival skills or certain things. So that unraveling and discovering your psyche can be absolutely amazing.
And redirect the energy into something more positive.
Exactly. Channel it. So addictive personality, for example, if you're training and you're feeling really good and getting results within your body and, you know, your physical appearance, and then there's no way you'll do things to jeopardize it once you start seeing results. So yeah, for sure. It's about channeling how you are and utilizing what you have access to. And as you do that and to accept rather than deny aspects of yourself, you'll have access to more of yourself and you'll discover you can do other things. It's quite an exciting journey. Mm. If you get out of that self-defeating cycle or pattern of these aspects that can become one of your amazing strengths. I've been watching a Netflix series on Bruce Lee. The story goes, he comes across pretty arrogant and he wants to be the best, number one, but then has absolute belief in himself. And he's starts transforming in the way he thinks and discovers things within himself in a profound way and gets into philosophy and transforms his life. And people that judge him said he was cocky. He's very confident. But he was pretty amazing in his views. It's easy to reflect back and go, wow, he was something special, something different. But we all are. We all can be like that and in our own unique way, because there's no one on this planet like us. We are absolutely unique and we all have something to offer. So with Bruce Lee's story, and he revolutionized things, he changed things and really brought his style into the world, inspirational to see his journey unfold and see the transformation. And he did not accept failure. And the interesting thing is he'd fight other masters. In the end, it wasn't about winning. It was about discovering and learning and merging more skills together to have the most optimum martial art. So it wasn't about winning. It's about transforming himself. And that message is absolutely profound. Really enjoying the series. I was talking to a mate of mine not that long ago, and he's talking about the voices in his head and the negativity, and that he tries to deny and think positive things. And I asked him, so, well, what's the difference between negative and positive, which one's more real? The answer is neither of them are real. It's just a play, ultimately. And as long as you're falling for the arm wrestle, there's an entrapment in there, because you, in the back of your mind, if you're arm wrestling within yourself, then in the back of your mind, you're questioning, you know, you're trying to convince yourself, what if I'm not good enough? And I said to my mate, I said, you know, you're wondering if you're a great person, if you have a great heart. And I said, come down to this. I said, why don't you deserve that? Why don't you deserve happiness, fulfillment? Why are you falling into the negativity? What's your fear? They're tough questions to ask and to answer. And I said, so, I know his heart. And I said, do you want to harm anyone? He said, no. He said, do you want love? Do you want peace? And yeah. I said, what's more noble than that? What's more pure than that? So the fact that you want that genuinely within yourself doesn't mean you necessarily feel it all the time. The fact that you want that, and it's obvious that you want that, you don't truly want to hurt anyone, then those voices in your head have no grounding. They have no real force. It's just the fear that, what if I'm not a good person? But how can you say you're not a good person? You're not a loving person if you ultimately want love and acceptance and peace. That is absolutely noble. That in itself, and anyone listening to that one person that listens, the fact that you want love and peace and fulfillment and understanding, and you don't truly want to harm anyone, that there is nothing more noble than that. That alone in itself should be enough to go, well, yeah, I'm whatever those voices are, whatever negative spirals I may fall into, it's just a feeling. But I am worthy. And I feel that absolutely the key start is to tell yourself and know that you deserve more and that you deserve happiness. The times when you may lash out, or you want understanding, or you're seeking approval, it's, you know, you may question habitually yourself at times and think you're not enough, but that's absolutely not true. The decisions one makes when they're not the best decisions is only because you're not accessing your heart at the time, and you're doubting your resolve in a sense. But always remember in the back of your mind, bring it to the forefront of your mind, that you don't want to harm anyone, and that you want love, you want peace, you want harmony. Because then it doesn't matter what those voices say in your head. They become irrelevant. They do not matter, because they are bringing about the doubt that's unjustified. So I feel you must hold that light to yourself, that you want peace, you want harmony, you want love. And even if that's with another person, it doesn't matter. It's a matter of wanting to experience love with another, and deep love and connection and balance and wholeness. There's nothing more noble. I think hold to that. I feel, really feel, my experience, hold to that and let that burn through the negative thoughts. And although you may have negative feelings with those negative thoughts, they will dissipate if you stop feeding the negativity. It takes a little while to create new neural pathways in your mind. You have to be patient. A great start is by stopping falsely believing the negative thoughts of your mind that you're not good enough, because that is absolutely not true. Absolutely not true. So a great thing to do, and this talks about in this chapter, is finding something that gives you a spark. Find something, and it might not be easy to do initially, and especially when, if you're not feeling good within yourself in any given moment, but find things to uplift yourself, whether it's just going for a walk along the beach or doing something that takes some pressure off, and then build from there. The single most important journey of your entire life is the search for true happiness within. And I feel there's nothing wrong with, another thing, it's nothing wrong with having things, having a job, having a car, having money. But this is about inner joy, inner fulfillment. And money can help to some degree, but it can also be a distraction. And the absolute pursuit of happiness can bring external freedom and happiness, but the internal one, there is no escaping that one. This takes awareness and practice, for sure. This chapter also talks about to decipher your own personal map to your heart, you only need to start trusting your heart or intuition, which is maturing. I feel if you can't accept the way you are, as I was mentioning before, and you're stereotyping, or I'll put it this way, straight away, if you can't accept the way you are, in a sense, and your mannerisms, your habits, then you're not discovering your uniqueness. And then that may, in turn, limit your intuition, because you have a certain perception of yourself that you can't accept. So that's going to alter your intuition, because your intuition is based on your feelings and understandings from everything that you have access to. So I really feel if you can't accept yourself wholly, then you're minimizing the intuition that you can access within yourself, because there's certain things within you that you cannot accept. So that will taint certain divine inspirations potentially, because I really feel that people think, you know, may look, they're on the spiritual journey to gurus or masters or try and be a certain way, but they feel it's not realistic that they can achieve that. And this is in line with what I've been saying, is that you don't become someone else, you become yourself. The truest version of yourself, the deepest, purest version of yourself. And any time that you may trip along the way, based on your habits and your ways and your conditioning, it gives you insight into things for you to work on. And I think a lot of times people project that and tell others what to do, what they need to work on. But their journey's not unlike yours, but it's their journey. It's similar but not the same. And that's why, you know, the core issues on becoming aware, or the core points, I should say, is the same. The medicine's the same in a sense. It's just a different dosage. Doses are different based on your personality. I remember when I was playing sport, I wanted to be the best, like playing rugby league, and I'd ask a strength coach, okay, what should I do in the gym? What should I do? And he'd say, oh, okay. He'd say, you need to do this, this, and this. I go, okay, yep, fantastic. And a week or so later, I talked to maybe one might be a gym coach, and one might be a sprint coach. Oh, you need to do less weights or less of this, more of this, plyometrics and other things, power training and all different types of things. So I asked a number of people and other people that were experts in their field, and I got different answers with everyone. And I found it pretty confusing. And obviously when you get old like me and as you age, you realize that everyone has their own way. And part of the fun and joy of living is discovering and experimenting and trying a number of different things to see what your body responds to. It shouldn't become a burden. It should become a joy. It's an experiment. It's the great experiment. That likewise with the spirituality. You know, I spent time in India. I've done certain things, and no one has to do what I do. But the awareness practice, the things you do to, or one does to expand awareness. There's many ways to do that, even with yoga, and lots of different techniques. It's just about finding the one that suits you, that will motivate you, that inspires you. So all these things that develop spirituality and awareness, they're all in alignment with each other. So, and that's why I don't push necessarily what I do. I encourage people to find out where they're drawn. To decipher your own personal map into your heart, you only need to start trusting your heart or intuition, not your thoughts, fears, or anyone else's. This will entrap you ever more deeply in misery and suffering. I think it's a good thing to ask people that what they feel and what they may do. And even if they may be suffering as well, you may find that they're doing what you're doing. And then you go, well, yeah, it doesn't work. Too strong, it's not working.
Yeah.
But I really feel that, and for me, what really inspired me is when I met some spiritual masters. They just carried themselves completely different. They weren't like anyone else I'd met before. So that inspired me. Our own peers or friends, if they have their ups and downs like you do and you're similar, then yeah, by all means hang out and connect. But I feel that to start breaking out of your suffering and your conditioning, you must do something different. And obviously it's a definition of insanity. You must do something different to create something new. It's great to seek advice or ask questions with people that have worked through certain things. Obviously, like in business, if someone's successful and you have a career path, you'd ask them how they did it. the methods they use. So, yeah, it doesn't hurt seeking understanding from others and then seeing what feels right to you, obviously. Yeah, so it goes into also, you know, we'll all be challenged by another's experiences, views, thoughts and feelings. This tests our resolve, our choices. Jackson certainly was. He was tested. Only your very own truth or intuition will guide you all the way home. The more you invest in it, the more it will reveal. It will show you more beauty than you could possibly imagine within you. Many have made the journey, but no one else knows your path. Sure, others may inspire, guide you, but every step is your own. You are ultimately in control of your own destiny. A great mistake many make is in the false idea. If it feels real, it must be real. This is the other thing too. It's amazing how many times we'll speak to someone and they go, oh, you know exactly what you're saying. I went through that exactly. I know. But it may appear the same. But because what you have access to within yourself, your own understanding based on your own experiences and conditioning, even if the circumstance feels exactly the same as someone else's and they all identify with yours, it doesn't mean that they necessarily felt and processed what you felt and processed. I just feel once again that it's great to be around like-minded people, but don't assume people know because they went through what you went through exactly how you feel, and don't take on their full understanding unless it works for you. I really feel it's don't jump in the same box as someone else. You'll be like, we have like-minded friends, but I really feel it's important to discover your uniqueness. It's in the differences that's a beautiful thing within yourself compared to others. It's in the differences. And although our hearts are amazing and the divine aspect within us is profound, that's what we have in common. But I feel the beauty is in discovering how you're different and where you're different. And people fear this, I think, subconsciously sometimes. They want to chime in, but it's well worth looking into, in my opinion, in my view. Another chapter talks about part of my own past. It says, asking myself questions and answering truthfully as best I could really enabled me to begin disentangling myself from the many traps of my thinking. Ultimately, this process is what set me free from the negative entrapments of my thoughts. When I tasted my heart for the first time, I realized that no thought could ever alter the truth of my heart. I discovered something very beautiful. It is only the belief in our thoughts that bind us. Therefore, it can only ever be our own personal journey within. We cannot blame another for our thinking. It makes no sense. So it's pretty profound that it's our false beliefs in our thoughts that bind us, that restrict us. We must question everything that restricts us and all our thoughts that bind us, I truly feel. It's amazing how often we blindly believe thoughts without questioning them at all. It's so amazing how we'll have a negative thought and instantly we feel negative or feel a sense of being depressed or not worthy instantly. It's amazing how powerful we can become to create such a chain reaction in such a short period of time. It has to be questioned. If you're not always feeling good within yourself, or if things linger anywhere, thoughts, feelings, or negativity lingers, you must investigate that. What other choice do you have? You have to investigate. And if you don't, you're setting up a neural pathway that's almost instantaneous with a particular thought that doesn't serve you. You have to. I truly feel you must become aware of these things and question them. And always go back to the point that within your heart, you want to harm no one. You want peace and you want love. So I feel that you must always remember that. And this is about getting out of autopilot. This is really what it's about. So the autopilot becomes so automatic that you feel like you're a victim of your own mind, of your own thoughts. And because one is so not used to challenging their thoughts, they start believing blindly that almost every thought's real. And that's just absolutely not true. No thought is real. Also mentioned, and this is absolutely true, that our thoughts, even from the universal mind or consciousness, are ours and ours alone as long as we're personally attached to them. So I'm talking about consciousness here, and we're all tapped into that, I feel. And so it's like a radio station that has all the channels, and we can hear so many different things, and what we tune into, even the voices within our heads, you become attuned to a particular station, and becoming aware is getting off the negative stations so they don't impact you anymore. And it's the identification with words. And this is why I'm not big on identity, in a sense that, as in, no, I'm not talking about uniqueness, that's profound. But I'm talking about the more you identify with, even pronouns, the more you identify with, the greater your suffering. And you talk to, if you hear any master or any great being or any great teacher, any wise person, they'll say the same thing. The more you identify with, the greater you suffer, the more you suffer. Because you're picking and choosing, I'm more of this, less of that. This is no good, that's good. And there's misunderstanding around almost all of these things. Well, I'd say all of these things. If you're creating boundaries and division and duality, that is an absolute misunderstanding. And it's hard to get your head around, but that is how it is. The more you identify with, the greater your suffering. So it's learning the art of non-attachment. And so it's not about losing your identity. It's losing your duality. Mm-hmm. It's more to the point. And I feel that's not really said. It's not, no one really says that. But the more you identify with, the more duality in your life you have. Duality, another word for that is disconnectedness. This is how I perceive things. The more disconnected, more identity, the more disconnection, the more suffering. So the more you divide something, the more things cut up in little sections, little boxes, little pieces. There is no oneness in that. There's just exclusion.
It's kind of interesting though, because a lot of people seem to attach labels to themselves to feel like they belong with something or some sort of community or some sort of, whether we might find camaraderie. So in some instances, that must be quite contradictory.
Yeah, it is. I feel like it's for a false sense of belonging. And it's also a way of not being responsible, and what a relief that feels. But it's a trap. Because if you're not responsible, it's just the way you are, or you belong to a certain group, or, you know, there's a label you identify with, you can let go. And initially there's okay, I can accept now, I can understand myself. It's just there's something wrong with me, you know, or I just suffer from this. So there's a momentary false sense of relief, in my opinion. And it's like you're free falling almost, and you hit a ledge, or you land somewhere, and okay, good, but that ledge has limitations in the end. So I'd rather free fall. So if you have a concept or something to believe in, even if it's false, then it gives you a sense of credibility, and you think you get a false sense of value or belonging. And it's okay to stop free falling for a bit, and you can have a rest. But then you must spread your wings and take another leap of faith, so to speak, and start discovering and trusting yourself. Because as long as you have a false sense of belonging, and you belong somewhere or with a particular group, or you're suffering PTSD or this or that, or anxiety or depression, whatever it is, you're disempowering yourself. And you're accepting that this is the prison that you're in my view. And it's okay to take a rest, stock take within yourself. It's okay to take stock of where you are. But it's not who you are, it's where you are. And within myself and within my being, my entire life, I never wanted to accept that this is just my life and this is just suffering. I couldn't accept that. And took me on such an amazing journey. So now I'm encouraging others to take the same journey. So I'll finish off shortly. In another of the paragraphs, we cannot blame another for our thinking. It makes no sense. So I feel if you don't personalize with your thoughts, and you can actually get into a pattern where you begin to watch and enjoy the show and the play of your thoughts. Just try it. Just, I feel anyone listening, that watch your thoughts and see where they go. And just like you're watching a movie. And it's amazing when you start watching your thoughts at times, they'll just duck and weave. And instead of getting drawn into them personally, watch them and see them dance and see them move and see them try and fool you. And just observe them without comment. You can be profound to think, wow, how'd I come up with that? Oh, where'd that thought come from? Wow, that's amazing. And then it's almost like you're watching it like you're watching a child. Then thoughts and the psyche may get annoyed. You know, no, don't. That doesn't want to be found out in a way, but you can sort of think, wow, where'd that creative spark, where'd that come from, where'd this come from? Or, you know, when you get beyond the mundane negative thoughts, the creativity and the potential in your thoughts, because, you know, it's not about, I don't feel about not thinking, or, you know, it's not fully shutting down the mind. It's about experiencing it in a new way, and you can actually enjoy the creativity it comes up with, and you can go from negativity to creativity if you allow it. But that may take some time, potentially. Depends on how much one is suffering. So just finishing up, it says, written that life will always affect your emotions to a degree, but until you stop losing yourself in the emotion, not questioning it or reliving it over and over, possibly blaming another, you're still trapped by a false idea. This idea would have you believe you are a victim and that you are powerless to change anything. It's true, people may reflect our thoughts of ourselves, although being interdependent, we are individually in control of our life or happiness. But unfortunately, our thoughts are mostly out of control. We need to realize this before we can truly start maturing and breaking through our false ideas. Only then can we set ourselves free. So that's the final paragraph of that chapter. So anything to add, Linda, on?
Not at the moment. Thank you.
So, yeah, learn to watch your thoughts. Discover your unique beauty. Learn about your habits and mannerisms so you can use them and channel them in the right direction to break yourself out of any negative cycle or to improve your life. And use your God-given gifts and uniqueness. Find a way to channel that, a way to enhance your life, I truly feel, rather than trying to conform. And it's okay to get a sense of yourself, or even on some level, if you must, have a stereotype, but that will give you insight into yourself. Don't stop there, I truly feel. One mustn't stop until you see through your suffering or negative thoughts and break into a better cycle, and where you learn to love yourself on a more deeper level. And once again, you are worthy for the fact that you want love in your life and you want peace and harmony, and you don't truly want to harm another. That is enough for you to question every negative thought within your being. That alone is enough. So I urge you to sit with that, process that, hold that close to your heart, because you deserve more. We all deserve happiness. So thank you for listening in, and we'll do another recording soon on chapter 9, self-worth, which draw the line. Thank you. Stay tuned. Bye for now.